This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Thanks to all you who texted me last night. Let's see. Among the texts that I get, Jeffrey, do people not realize that I try my best? I carefully modulate what I'm intaking from the game. Right? I carefully modulate it to protect my emotions.
Yeah. I always...
You texted me afterwards.
Right. Or what I do is, if I'm watching the game with Aaliyah, I will text you, are you watching?
Yeah, and that's fine. Right.
Yes.
So I got a... We got a direct message on Twitter. Bill's not off to the best of starts. Oh, well, that was nice to hear. And then I got...
Jeff, is it how you start the game?
No. Then I got a... Then I got a text. Your Bill's up at the half.
That's okay.
You don't have to tell me. If I want to know the score, I will know the score. Mm-hmm. If I'm hiding in my closet, I'll be hiding in my closet.
That's the likely.
And that is the more likely. Then I got this one. This one was great to get. And this person is a listener. Knows exactly what. This came later. Have the Bills ever played football before? My God, G-A-W-D. That one cheered me up to get that when I was hiding in the closet. I carefully modulate these things. And then I did get the triumphant. Then I got the triumphant one from Jeffrey that said, and I quote, "What a win. That had to be so awesome for Ben." That's son Ben, who was at the game. Actually, son Peter. Also,
I didn't know they were both there.
Yeah, but it turns out Ben was being a good big brother. Evidently, I think he got a ticket for Peter. I didn't know that until yesterday. And so they said it was absolutely excruciating. It was absolutely excruciating, but glorious in the end. And my
sports.
God, it was excruciating. And we'll talk more about that later. Today on the radio show, let's see. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about the Memphis Grizzlies, who were triumphant over the Indiana Pacers. Back in Indiana, the Indiana lads had a good time of it. Zach Edey seems to like being in the state of Indiana. Best game as a pro, Jeffrey.
Are we doing the thing where we're counting this now?
No, but we are counting on him.
Okay. I agree with that.
We are counting on
but
him.
I feel like we've kind I feel like this season we have really leaned into preseason basketball.
It's all we've had for a long time.
I understand but what happened to the preseason pledge?
We haven't had it for a long time. No, you're right. You're right. It doesn't apply as much to basketball as football. But it does. It should and it will. And yes, you're exactly right. The injuries matter. I think with a rookie, honestly, in particular, I don't care about that, like Desmond Bane or you know, there you just health and whatever else. But with a player that you've never seen before, I think that's all we have to go on. And so there is, and so much is hanging on him that we put some more stock in that. And then the whole offensive stuff has been kind of intriguing this preseason. Anyway, Zach Edey was really good. We'll talk to Chris Harrington about that straight up at 10 o'clock. And then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman, he's suggesting he has so many things that he wants to talk about, including a big story about Redbox.
Okay.
Have you ever gotten a movie out of Redbox?
I've not, but I'm
going to tease the story, but I'm going to tell you the story. You've never done it.
I've not.
A big story about Redbox and other matters. So we'll talk to Charles Fishman in the second hour. We'll talk to him in the second hour. And then we do have lots of other things that we have to get to before we get to that busy second hour with our guests, including the fact that tonight, Jeffrey, you've got the name memorized at this point. What's the name of this thing?
It is the Hoops for St. Jude Tip-Off Classic.
That! That is tonight at FedEx Forum. I'm going to go. I wouldn't miss it. Even though I don't write sports exclusively anymore, I wouldn't miss a big event like that. And so it's at 6 o'clock, for the men. That is on ESPNU, and 8:30 for the women. That is on ESPN Plus. The men will play, of course, the University of North Carolina. The women will play the University of South Carolina. The news yesterday was that a benefactor emerged. And I'm going to just tell you, wasn't me.
Nor I.
Wasn't me. Wasn't Jeffrey. Wasn't either of us. We've lent, you can either lead, you know how they say in church, Jeffrey, they say talent or treasure?
Yes.
We've lent our talent to the cause. We thank those who've lent their treasure. 1,000 tickets given away, particularly to kids. So that's cool. And I'm told, got an update from the organizers last night, and I'm told that they're up around 7,000 tickets sold now, which is, I think, respectable or sold and more. And hopefully they will get more today. I was also reminded that if you don't want to pay the Ticketmaster fees, you can buy them at the box office.
There you go.
And so there are still plenty of tickets available. So if you are inclined to go participate in this extravaganza, that will be tonight at FedEx Forum. My feeling, I don't know, like the intense focus on attendance and all things in this city has always somewhat bewildered me and bothered me or whatever else. I get weary of it. But on this one, when they literally are trying to establish and prove something, they said it from the outset. If we get the proper corporate support, if we get the proper fan support, we can maybe build this into a regular season ongoing tournament. And when something hinges on it, I think it makes sense to pay attention to the numbers. When it was first announced, Gabe, in his exuberance, said to me, do you think they're going to get a sellout? And I said, they'd be very happy to get 10,000. I actually later confirmed that. They would have been very happy to get 10,000. When you're starting from, first of all, 10,000 people for a college basketball game, a regular season college basketball game, is great. That's great attendance for a college basketball game.
I believe it would have been the highest, in terms of actual tickets scanned, I think it would have been the highest. It would have been higher than anything last year. I don't think they got 10 last year.
That's right. I don't think they hit 10 last year. So it would be – and then you're starting from scratch. There's
correct.
No base of season tickets, and you only got a month to do it, and it's an exhibition game.
Yes.
Come on, man. Seriously? You expected
– Yeah, so, even though it has brands, it's still –
So it's got big brands. It is a big event, and it's the first chance to see the Tigers, and there's a lot to recommend it. As I said, I would rather go to this game tonight than any home conference game. Even, you know, UAB, whatever. Like, I, this is the one that I have circled. And so I think you're getting, plus you're getting to see the, you know, Dawn Staley and the South Carolina women. And it's one first of its kind. But I never expected anything close to 18. I thought 10 was optimistic. And then we worried a little bit. The truth of the matter is, here's the other thing. If you get 7,500 in that building, it feels fine. And the way you know that is when, and it's mostly the CADA stories on the turnstile account every year. And when you see that story comes out, you're like, oh, damn, only 7,500 were at that Alabama game. Oh my God, they never got to. And during the games, during the season, there were games that felt fine. As long as the lower bowl is full, and then whatever else, it's the atmosphere is fine. And I'm told they had a great dinner last night at the Peabody. I'm also told that they are optimistic about the tournament next year. Obviously, the people who are throwing this one from Complete Sports Management, those folks are here and they're observing how it's going. And I think they're feeling pretty good about things and feeling pretty optimistic about next year. I'm also told they did a fundraising competition last night at the dinner, and they raised more than $30,000 in 10 minutes. And so I'm optimistic about tonight. You had North Carolina I think North Carolina visited the hospital yesterday. Players visited the hospital yesterday, and South Carolina is coming today to the hospital. So that's another part of this. If you do feel like getting in on it and supporting the enterprise, again, you can walk up and you don't have to pay the Ticketmaster fees if you buy at the box office tonight. What do you expect? Well, what do you like? Here's the truth. For Memphis Madnesses, you crowd on in there and then the event stinks. Like back when they had Memphis Madness,
yes.
You know, it's sort of slightly disorganized. The basketball is totally meaningless.
It used to always go on way too long.
It was way too long. Yeah. Wondering,
and
you know, whatever
the hype
else.
Would always exceed the event.
And then the event went. Now, this is an exhibition game.
Correct.
This is an actual game. What do we think the atmosphere is? Nothing. There's nothing at stake.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's going to be like, I mean, I think a big part of this is like how competitive is the game.
Right.
I mean, you know, like you can tell oftentimes like.
Will they be playing? Will Penny care about winning?
I don't know. That's that. You know what I mean? Well, to me, it's not just one team caring about winning. Will both teams care about winning?
And it's more likely that Memphis will care about winning.
I totally agree.
100%. Hey, it's on their home floor in front of their fans. They have more to prove. I think Memphis will care more about winning than North Carolina will care about winning.
I think that that's likely. I mean, I think it's clearly going to be, this isn't going to be like the Clemson game last year, but I think it's going to be, I think it'll certainly have a better atmosphere than probably, like you said.
Clemson game was good last year. It is funny.
The Clemson game was a great atmosphere.
The way the season ended last year was so brutal.
Yep.
It's one of the reasons that I like this event, among other things. It also is a little bit of a palate cleanser. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It is a reason to...
Let's put last year behind.
It's one of the things that is helping us sort of restore hope. Penny's come out. He's talked. He's talked about turning over a new leaf. Everyone around Penny says he seems lighter and happier. I was hearing Tim Duncan talk about the coaching changes, and he said, and I thought this was good. Tim was on with Jason yesterday. He said, if a relationship is unproductive, you sever it, and it doesn't matter when it is. And I agree with that completely. Now, if you want to second guess it, you can say, why didn't they sever it at the end of the season? Did it just become unproductive? In the, you know, did you have to wait till then to realize it was unproductive? Did it become unproductive over the summer? If it was going to be unproductive, why don't you realize it's unproductive earlier? But whatever. I do fundamentally, if it's a toxic relationship between Stansberry and Penny, there's no reason to carry that into a season for appearance sake, right?
Yeah.
So I like the way the vibes are changing, and I'm hopeful about the season. I'm not giddy about the season. I'm not getting ahead of myself. I'm not predicting a Sweet 16 at this point, but I'm hopeful about the season, and it starts tonight, sort of, at FedEx Forum. I will be there. Hope to see you there. The other thing I wanted to talk about, again, we got the Grizzlies to get to. We got the game last night to get to. There's other college football news. There's baseball. Talk about whether we want the Subway Series or do not. I did want to mention the story that I wrote in the Daily Memphian today about Derek Clennon, University of Memphis football player, Memphis Owl, who died a week ago at the age of 40. Did you know him, Jeffrey, or did you know of him?
I knew him.
You knew him.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't like close with him, but yeah, I knew Derek.
So the story was shared with me, and it's a sad story. The guy dies at 40 with three young boys. And a really involved, engaged, productive Memphian who cared about the community, who walked on at Memphis football, went to play at MUS, was a star at MUS, and then walked on at Memphis football and earned a scholarship. Subsequently, never left Memphis, believed in Memphis, loved Memphis, deeply involved. He coached the seventh grade team, I think it was, at MUS for 15 years. Just a roll up your sleeves, enthusiastic, Memphian. who dies at the age of 40. So it's an incredibly sad story, died of leukemia at the age of 40. But the way that it works is I only write these stories if the people close to them want to be written about, you know, want that person's memory to be honored and want their story to be told. And then you just kind of hope you get it right when you do write about it. But it's a story about just kind of incredible, about friendship and about what matters in life, and about connections you make along the way and the impact you have on people. And it really starts, from my perspective, 22 years ago at the MUS-CBHS game, which, by the way, will be played again this Friday for the 64th time, one of the great rivalries in the city. And in that game, CBHS had a terrific team that year. MUS got off to a very slow start that year and then ripped off a bunch of wins. And so they're playing this game, and MUS stuns CBHS. Derek Clennon is the star running back for MUS. He also intercepts a pass early in that game, and MUS goes up 21-0. Well, the quarterback for Christian Brothers, Carter Giovanetti, he grew up just hating MUS. Like, you're steeped in the rivalry, right? And it's interesting.
His line was great. All I did was think about beating
MUS. And the other funny thing is, like, he grew up St. Dominic, yep. You know, and then St. Dominic and then Christian Brothers. And Derek Clennon grew up PDS, Woodland, MUS. PDS, yep. Whatever, yep. And then MUS. And Carter said, we knew of each other, but we never really met. We actually tried out for the same AAU basketball team, the Blackhawks, and he made it and I didn't. He said, that's the way it went. He won every time we played. And we were aware of each other, but we didn't know each other. We would sometimes, Derek's father, Ken, chiropractor in town, who I guess people tell me is sort of a bodybuilder type, like is really yes. into fitness and whatever. So he and Derek would be in the gym, and Carter would be in the gym with his dad, and they'd be looking across and seeing, it was that crosstown rivalry thing. They never even really officially met. Anyway, they link up in this big game. And Carter Giovanetti is absolutely obsessed with beating MUS. And sure enough, they come back. And he has the game of his life. And they're down. At this point, it's 28-21 with a few minutes remaining. And Giovanetti's leading his team down the field. And he said later to me, he said, you know how, he said, I was a not that talented player, gritty, you know, try-hard leader guy, whatever. I don't even think he would call himself leader because he was very modest in the way he talked about his own skills. But he said, that moment, it was like your dream. It was like everything was slowing down. And he leads the team down the field. And they're deep in MUS territory. And he's rolling right. I don't know, right or left, probably right. And he is waiting for...
It was to the visiting sideline, so...
Receiver to come open. Waiting for a receiver to come open. He said, and he goes up on one leg and he jumps to throw the pass. And he is absolutely smoked. Just absolutely smoked. Tongue split open, bleeding, unconscious, he said, for 5 minutes on the sideline.
One of the hardest hits I've ever seen.
Smelling salts, all yeah. of this. He is hauled off. But the sub comes in. Two plays later, they score to essentially tie the game. They just need the extra point. So Derek Clennon, who has been bedeviling Carter Giovanetti his whole life, he comes off the edge and he blocks the extra point and wins the game for MUS. Giovanetti said he never, still has not seen. He literally sent me a video of the play, which he has not watched. He's never watched it.
He won't watch it.
Yeah. And he wasn't even aware of it till really the next day because he said I was out of it for a long time. Anyway, Memphis is the way it is. A I talked to Tommy West, exchanged messages with Tommy West about Derek Glennon, and he said they worked. That was when they were working so hard to get private school kids. Yep. Remember that?
Yes.
And they got a bunch of CBHS kids to come.
Yeah, they had like six or seven off that one of those teams.
From Giovanetti's teammates to come to Memphis. And Derek Glennon did what not a lot of MUS kids do. Walks on at Memphis.
Yes.
Walks on at Memphis.
Like, we've had guys get scholarships, like Scott Vogel got scholarship, but not, we usually don't just have guys like, oh, I'm just going to go play
I'm just going to go play at Memphis. And by the freshman year, he was contributing.
Yeah.
Freshman year, he was contributing on special teams. He won a bunch of, you know, awards while he was at Memphis, ultimately won a scholarship at Memphis. He had a big pick against UTEP. This was the D'Angelo, Steven Gostkowski games. Got hurt, came back. Like, put together a real career at Memphis, won a scholarship, plucky
player. He had a bus stop. I remember because I was searching for it. You know, remember when we used to do the promotional material for, like, buy your tickets?
Yeah.
Derek had one of the ones on a bus stop. Like, I remember, like, all of us trying to go, and, like, that was like, one of the cooler things we could think of.
But it's funny the way the world works, because he's at Memphis, and there's all these CBHS kids at Memphis, and Carter Giovanetti... He actually went to Christian Brothers University. He stopped playing football, but he was hanging out with them all. And what happens? He becomes really close friends with Derek Glennon. And in fact, they live together. One of the tough things about living with Derek Glennon at that point was that Derek Glennon had a blown up photo of the block extra point on the wall.
It was a really good picture.
Giovanetti would like to point out that he was supposed to be the holder on that extra point and was not there. Otherwise, they would have made it. Anyway,
don't tell these
they became great friends. There was one day that Derek Glennon always kept himself in great shape, even up until the last year. He's always been in unbelievable shape. Carter Giovanetti will say not so much. And in college, they were having one deal where they were talking about this, and Carter said, I bet I could run a mile in less than 10 minutes. Tomorrow morning, he'd gotten kind of fat at this point, and Derek and the rest took him up on it. And so there, near the University of Memphis, one morning, 8 a.m, 7 a.m on a Saturday, football players sitting on their couches throwing cans of beer at him. He ran, and they bet $1,000 that he could do it. And he said he did it. But anyway, life goes on. They're great friends. They actually get married within 2 weeks of each other. Derek marries Kristen, who was in fact a Kristen Murdoch, who was a cheerleader for CBHS and homecoming queen at CBHS. This is how the world works. They're in each other's wedding. They get married 2 weeks. They each have three kids. They're neighbors, really close friends, live in the idyllic Memphis life. And then a year ago, Derek Glennon is feeling bad, and they thought it was the flu, and he went into the ER one day, and he already had stage 4 leukemia. They said if he wasn't in the incredible physical condition that he would have already been gone. So the last year has been the way these things can go. A lot of hope, a lot of despair. Derek Glennon kept as much as possible coaching through this. Worked at Raymond James, kept doing his thing at Raymond James. He tried to live his faith through this, be an example with his faith through this. But it was rough. Stem cell transplant, all of that. And a couple of weeks ago, when he was at MD Anderson, and Kristen was down there, and then she said, I need to call in some reinforcements to lift his spirits. And so she called Carter Giovanetti, and then John Phillips, who was a teammate of Derek Glennon's at MUS, and they alternated. One came down for 3 days, another one came down for the next 3 days, kind of thing. And I talked to Carter about it, and I talked to John Phillips about it, and it's just really interesting and poignant. 22 years ago, those three played in a game that to them felt like life and death. And here they were in a hospital room dealing with the real thing. And it was, you know, sad, and it was beautiful, and it was what really all of this stuff, whatever your rivalry is, whoever, the connections you make as a kid, that's what this is all about, you know, in the end. It's friendships and it's relationships and all of that. It's community. And one of the Derek Glennon, in the end, he wanted to be home. He knew he was going to die. And so he wanted to be home with his wife and kids. He flew home. I got home, I think it was last Monday, and then died a week ago. Died a day later after he got home on his youngest son's sixth birthday. And he will be laid to rest Friday, private ceremony. The game is Friday night. They'll be honoring him at the game. And then there's going to be a memorial service at Second Pres on Saturday. And then, they're calling it an after party at the football stadium after that. But one of the stories that came is Carter Giovannetti. Remember the $1,000 that he bet once upon a time that he could run a mile. Well, a few weeks ago when Derek was feeling pretty low, he decided to revisit that. Still not in the greatest shape. And he said, I bet I can run a marathon. And I'm going to bet you $1,000 that I can run the marathon this year, the St. Jude Marathon this year. And you're going to collect in person if I don't. Well, Derek's not going to collect in person. But Carter Giovannetti is still going to run the marathon. And he put up a post about it. And here, a measure of the impact that Derek has had in the community is right now, if you look at the St. Jude Marathon site, people running it, you always run for St. Jude. Carter Giovannetti has something like $43,000 committed, which is second on the entire site for this year's race. And I asked Kristen if she thought that Carter would finish. And Kristen said, my God, yes. She said, if you know Carter Giovannetti, he may have to crawl. They may turn the lights off, but he's going to finish. And then she said, and now that it's for Derek, he might well finish third. So I don't know. It's a story, of course, about one guy who played at Christian Brothers and one guy who played at MUS, but it's really a story about friendships and about life and about what's important and what isn't. And my thoughts for Derek Glennon go to Derek Glennon and his family and all who loved him. And I appreciate the chance to tell that story. It's over at the Daily Memphian if you want to read it. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're selling your house, I recommend you call Josh Hysaw. I've told you this before, but I still believe it. Josh Hysaw, among other things, you see the way that he markets his own business, honestly? Like, that's how he'll market your house, too. He understands that in this environment, when you see houses, honestly, I've just noticed they're sitting out there and sitting out there and sitting out there and sitting out there. You want to make sure that your house gets in front of everybody. And that's what Josh does. Jody was selling her house. She heard us talking about Josh Hysaw on this very show. Called him within a week, 8 offers. That's right. That was her biggest dilemma. Which of the 8 to choose? That was her biggest dilemma. I'm not saying that absolutely will happen to you, but you'd be silly if you don't give Josh a call. Josh and his team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. Josh has the buyers. .com. Jeffrey? Appears we've got some breaking news. Tell the people.
The Las Vegas Raiders are finalizing a trade of Davante Adams to the New York Jets, according to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. The Raiders will receive a conditional third-round draft pick that could improve to a second-round selection, the sources said. The trade will reunite Adams with Aaron Rodgers, his quarterback for the first 8 seasons of his career with the Green Bay Packers.
Well, now we know. So Troy Aikman last night was saying, I don't know where the Jets go from here. That's what he said, isn't it, Jeffrey? Said,
well, I was watching Manning cast.
He did. But, he said,
I got to tell you, Belichick was throwing 98 on the block.
What did Belichick say?
Belichick was hammering Woody Johnson. The way that he's been talking about owners, it makes me wonder if he really is kind of done coaching.
Just hammer, because he's been mocking Arthur Blank.
Correct.
Maybe he's just mocking those owners where he knows he's not getting a gig, though.
I mean, maybe, but you know,
I think it's pretty clear he's not going to be the Jets coach.
He's not going to be the Jets coach. He's not going to be the Falcons coach.
He's hammering Woody Johnson.
Correct.
Anyway, Troy Aikman said, I don't know where the Jets go from here. And where they go is to Davante Adams. And I have to say, I mean, there's a part of this that's obvious. Like on the postgame thing, if the Aaron Rodgers is talking about what went wrong, and what does he do? He blames Mike Williams.
Yeah.
Totally. Ran the wrong route on that last pick.
I'd like to know what the red line is.
The red line is it's a.
Was he trying to say the 20? Was he trying to say red zone?
No, he wasn't. It obviously is a term that they use. It means basically he was supposed to be further toward the sideline. And he said he straight red line down the sideline, and instead he curved in, and that's what Aaron Rodgers said. He said, well, I was going to throw it over there. He looked like he was open, and then I realized he was curling in, and then I had to sort of throw it back to whatever. It is kind of blatant the way that he blamed him.
Correct.
Over and over again.
The one thing that I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, the way he was throwing the ball last night, that would have been a gross underthrow, and he was not missing.
No, here's the thing. They should have won that game.
Yeah.
They should have won that game. And I'm not saying that they're not, like, I don't know. Are they better than the Bills? They certainly, listen, before they added Davante Adams, they had better weapons than the Bills. Now, Aaron Rodgers is not as good as Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Now, this version of Aaron Rodgers.
And also the Bills are significantly more banged up.
The Bills are highly banged up, and we'll see who returns and whatever else. But I don't like it's pretty clear. Like Aaron Rodgers made the deal, you know, Aaron Rodgers is like, F this stuff. I'm not going to have a guy not running the red line for me when I can get a guy who I there's a bunch of, there's the London pick too. It looked like, it looked like he's not on the same page with his receivers a lot of times. And, and Davante Adams is good.
Yeah. I mean, this is the question though. It's like, are all their problems solved?
No, not all their problems are solved, but they're all in. They got Aaron Rodgers, and it's a third that becomes a second. It's a third. We don't know the conditions on it, right?
I've not seen anything that says. I'm assuming it's always going to be based on number
of snaps. Yeah, it's a third that is conditional, can be a second. Now, a second's quite a lot to give up for an aging wide receiver, right? That's a reasonably high price to pay.
Yeah, but if you're all in.
But if you're all in, it's not. Whatever. You know, who cares? It's just a freaking second. I don't have any problem. And if you look at the You look at the Jets, and they do the same things every game. It's the details. And last night, it was the 2 missed field goals, obviously. It was 11 penalties. Obviously, that was a big part of it. It was the failure to score in the red zone. It was what Aaron Rodgers called the phantom holding call. That was a killer for him. The holding call on the touchdown was an absolute killer for him.
Yeah, it wasn't a phantom. He rung him up by
the neck. He did ring him up by the neck. It was not a phantom. But here's the truth. If you look at it, can the Jets catch the Bills? Maybe. Who knows? They play the Bills again. And Bills have a tough schedule. So they could catch the Bills. But put that aside, my question is, can they get a wild card? And here you go. We'll give the Texans the AFC South. We prepared to do that?
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and just for present purposes, give the Ravens the AFC North. I think they're looking good. Straighten themselves out. Derrick Henry's running like crazy. Ravens and Steelers tied at 4-2, but we got to give some on the AFC North. You're going to give it to the Ravens?
I don't think those 4-2 teams are the same.
Right. So I think we'll just go ahead and give the AFC West to the Chiefs at 5-0.
I'm going to go ahead and give them the AFC West for next year, too.
Next year, too. And we'll just, for present purposes, we'll give the AFC East to the Bills. Three wild card teams?
Three wild cards.
All right. So let's look at it. Let's look at a team. That the Jets have two wins. Let's look at the teams that are two ahead of them. So they would have to do a lot of work to catch them. That's the Steelers. And not a particularly formidable Steelers team, but fine. We'll give them one of the
wild
cards.
They play this Sunday.
And they play this Sunday.
Yep.
Then you've got teams with three wins. You got the Chargers. You got the Broncos. And you got the Colts. So right now, those teams are ahead of you in the wild card standings. You would have to catch two of them? Two of them, because we already gave one to the other wild card. You'd have to. So
we know the AFC North's getting at least two teams.
I just don't. Yeah, we're giving them the Steelers. So you got two more wild cards. You got two more wild card teams. And of those wild card teams, right now, the teams with three wins are the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Colts. Two of those could go, or the Jets could. They're only a game back.
They play both the
Colts,
Steelers and
Colts
the Colts.
What are the Colts even going to do? What are the Colts going to do?
I mean, I think
at
right now.
Are they going to keep playing them?
I think they're playing Flacco.
They're going to keep playing Flacco.
Yeah.
Okay. I would.
I'm not saying that's the wrong thing. I think
certainly would. Do the Broncos scare you? Chargers feel like they're figuring some things out. That defense has been really good.
Do the Broncos scare me? I don't think the Broncos are good, but I do know this. They have a... Their defense is every bit as good as the Jets' defense.
Chargers and Broncos' defense, both good.
Correct. And Bo Nix is so erratic that what if you catch him on the day where he's good?
Of course, the Bengals are at 2-4. The Bengals have as many wins. That's the interesting question. Who would be more likely to get a wild card, the Bengals or the Jets?
I think I would say the Jets, even though they're both 2-4. The reason why I would say the Jets is the Bengals' offense is operating at a very high level right now. Their defense is really bad, and it doesn't have a fix.
Right.
Like, at least you could make the argument the Jets' offense could get better.
Obviously, I'm not a fan of the trade just because I don't like Aaron Rodgers getting what he wants. I just don't like Aaron Rodgers. I don't like him getting what he wants. I don't like he's going to
the
division,
the old Patriots,
whatever else. Like,
who cares what the bottom of the division does?
But who cares what the bottom of the division does?
Go let them be cute together.
In terms of last night, I said the Bills were lucky to win. They also were, the Jets were lucky to be close. Like, you can cut it either way. Yes, there's no question. The two Jets field goals,
they hit a Hail Mary.
Cost them. I was going to get to that. They could have hit it too many, but they also profited because the Bills missed a 47-yard field goal. The Bills missed an extra point, so that's 4 points right there, and the Bills gave up a Hail Mary. So it was only close because of the Hail Mary.
Yes.
Now, mind you, you can argue, I mean, it's still a Hail Mary. It's still lucky. But what's interesting is
he is elite at throwing him.
He is elite at throwing him. And this was very clearly, Sean McDermott said, we're going to guard. They guarded the sidelines because they didn't want him to complete a pass to get within field goal range. And so he had rushed two and he had dudes dropping off to guard the sidelines, right? And so gave Aaron Rodgers all the time in the world. And then Lazard, he's a big dude.
Yes.
You know, he's a big dude. He went up and just won a jump ball.
He boxed it. Yeah.
He just boxed out. Actually, I know these things are lucky and whatever, but that was less lucky than most.
No, the way
threw
that,
to the big guy exactly where he wanted to throw to the big guy, and the big guy went and got it.
Yeah, the way that it was defended was probably not great.
I think you can say that. The way it was defended was not great. What is interesting is, so from the Jets' perspective, they are not giving up.
I'm going to say no. The Bills should have won. When you look at, when you break it out like this,
who had more yards
of
offense?
So while the Jets had more yards of offense,
Jets did.
The Bills had a higher success rate on both running and throwing. And in terms of EPA per drive, EPA per play, the Bills were better in every category.
30 flags, by the way. All over.
Oh, that's the thing. It was a ref show.
It was a ref show.
I hate Adrian Hill. I'm so convinced that when he calls a game, they have to just have the earpiece in. Because all they do is they keep changing the calls with his crew.
And then as far as the Bills, they're not good. They're just not good, man. Like, I tipped you on Ray Davis. Did you play him? Did you activate
him? So I would have had to have dropped. The problem is it was so late on a Monday night, I would have had to drop. But I was not going with Ty Johnson. I know that.
Ray Davis was terrific. 97 yards rushing, 152 yards. Like, getting open for the deep ball. That was impressive. But the receivers, once again, they got nobody. The receivers combined for 9 receptions, 97 yards. The receivers combined for less than 100 yards. And the defense is getting absolutely gashed with big plays. The last 3 games, they have given up 47 plays of 10 or more yards. In each of the last 3 games, they have given up a 50-yard or more touchdown.
So Belichick was hammering this home. They don't have great team speed. But he also pointed out...
He seems to like McDermott's defense, though, doesn't he? I mean, yes, I've heard him talk about it before.
So what he said is, you can't judge them until they have... He's like, their whole defense is built around, we go as the pass rush goes, or we go as our front goes.
Right.
And he's like, with them having this
many... Oliver's out.
With
Von
this
Miller's
many injuries,
out.
He said, this is not a fair fight. But I disagree. I don't think the Bills are... I think
they're
the Bills
okay.
Are good.
They will have to make... If they really want to be serious, it is weird. The Jets are all in. The Bills are not. Like, why is that?
I think Bills are in this weird one year.
It's because the Bills think there are more years of Josh Allen, where the Jets know there's not more years of Aaron Rodgers.
But also, it's like anymore. I feel like the Bills had this one year to get everything off
a
their
reset,
books.
Right. Yeah. So they're not trying to spend all their resources, either financial or draft pick, when they are going to reload otherwise. Anyway, that's what happened. Davante Adams traded to the Jets. Other NFL news. Let's see. Sirianni apologized. See that?
Well, yeah. Well, kind of.
Okay. Sirianni kind of apologized. I think that's fair.
Yeah. He's weird. I've been on this since day one. This isn't just like anti-Eagles. I think he's a weird dude. I cannot imagine his gimmick works in a locker room.
So they asked, which is the bigger circus, Dallas right now or Philadelphia right now?
Is Dallas really a circus, or are they just losing? Like, it's not like they're infighting and everything.
I think that's fair.
The circus is always just Jerry talking, but like, to me, like the Eagles are a much bigger, like, internal circus.
Okay, I can buy that. That's fair. Harbaugh's going to wear a monitor. Harbaugh's going to wear a heart monitor. How do you feel about that? Are you impressed by the "I can have a, you know, heart ailment and still be coaching" thing?
Well, I did like the he's now 2-0 in games with having an arrhythmia.
that's a good. That's
the fact that he.
You know what that is?
Yeah,
that's advanced stats. And and then the Browns are just thought. What are the Browns going to do ultimately? What the hell are they going to do? They have had 6 games without 300 yards of offense. 6 games without ever scoring more than 18 points. That's the first time that's ever been done.
Do you realize, like, statistically, he's worse than Jamarcus Russell?
He is just god awful.
Hate that for him.
How do we feel about a Subway Series? Do you hate it? Last night, of course, the Yankees beat the Guardians 5-2, and the Mets beat the Dodgers 7-3.
So it's going to be overhyped because that's what the New York thing would be.
I don't hate it.
I also don't think, though, we're headed towards it. I think we're headed towards new Yankees versus old Yankees.
You like the Dodgers?
I think they're much better.
The pitching certainly did not hold up last night.
It didn't, but their lineup also, like, that's the other thing. It's like they had their worst game, and they were still kind of in it.
It is funny. Of those two scenarios, like, there's no plucky little guy in any of these scenarios, right?
Well, the Guardians.
But if you're taking out the Guardians, that's who I'm clearly rooting for. But if you take out the Guardians, there's no plucky little guy here.
No,
and of those scenarios, Yankees-Dodgers or Yankees-Mets, I'd rather Yankees-Mets. Because actually, it's at least intriguing.
Yeah, but then I'm still not going to have anyone to root for.
All right, well, let's do we got the Grizz won last night? Oh, well, before we get to Chris and take the break, I did want to give the highlight of the night, which was Zach Edey back in Indiana. Zach Edey doing Zach Edey in Indiana things. And here is Pete and Brevin with the call.
Back and down. Back and down.
Oh, yeah.
I when I listen to this call, I think Brevin's wait, that's too high. What do you how do you do it? How do you play it again?
Back and down. Back and down.
Oh yeah.
It's more like a Santa
it's
Claus.
More a ho,
like,
ho,
it's
ho.
Like a ho 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 with a
who's at the end. Ho 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 ho.
Yeah.
It's that's a little bit like Elliot Perry's oh oh oh. It's a little bit like that one, right? It's a little bit like the jaw thing. I think it's a I thought it was a, just the here we are. can we go hear Brevin? What's she like better? Can we hear Brevin again? Can we summon Brevin again? With the it's like got a little bit of a Santa tinge to it. Absolutely.
Back and down. Back and down.
Oh, yeah. Spinning. Oh, Edey.
Drop strip. I think there's a ho 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 in there.
I think it's with definitely a ho ho ho.
It's a
ho 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 with a hoo at the end.
Ho ho hoo.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love when they give way to joy. Just when they're carried away by absolute joy.
When you're just reduced to just sounds.
Just making noises. Right, exactly. That's half the time me here. Anyway, Edey with 23-9 last night in 19 scintillating minutes. We'll talk to Chris Harrington about that. Then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We have a busy second hour. I will tell you before then that Robert Irwin Jewelers is celebrating their 47th anniversary with their 47th anniversary sale. During the sale, you can save on engagement rings, wedding bands, diamond earrings, diamond pendants, gemstone jewelry, gold chains, bracelets. Get yourself to Robert Irwin Jewelers. But I want to remark on the 47 years. 47 years. You don't last that long in this town unless you're doing something right. Robert Irwin, they lived in New York once upon a time. We're doing business in Memphis and said, you know what? That would be a place that we'd like to live. And invest ourselves in the community. And it's exactly what they've done. So if you're thinking about getting something beautiful for someone you love, get yourself to Robert Irwin Jewelers. They got all this stuff we've talked about for years. The meant-to-be guarantee included. Buy your loose diamond custom-made engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers, and you will have 365 days to return it. No questions asked. That's the kind of thing that gives you peace of mind when you are shopping for one of the biggest, most important purchases you will ever make. It's Robert Irwin Jewelers celebrating 47 years. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, locations in the Memphis area and Little Rock, or online at rijewelers.com. Back in a moment with Chris Harrington's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.